Lonnie Donegan's chewing gum song, and my guest this week is the American singer-songwriter John Stewart. The full text of this interview is on the internet, and I'll give you the website at the end of the programme. As I said, I met John Stewart on a recent tour and caught up with him in York, and I presume that he was talking about himself in his song Hard Times for the Monkey Boy.
That's right. Oh, yeah. And in fact, in grammar school, you know, I had very big ears then, and the girls would call me Monkey Boy, you know, which was just, you know, a knife in the heart. So, yeah, I'm the Monkey Boy, you know.
And so you remember that for years and years.
Yeah, forever. I shall always remember that, you know.
And then it just came out one day as a song.
It's like when the thing you are ashamed of, you wear as a badge of honor, it then no longer owns you. You own it, you know. Hard Times for the Monkey Boy. I love it. I love the sound of the Monkey Boy, you know.
One of the things is that if people hear Hard Times for the Monkey Boy, they couldn't possibly know that that was your nickname.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. But it should have the mystery. I'm a firm believer in mystery. The more mystery in a song, the more it intrigues people. It's just, mystery is an intriguing thing, you know. It's fun to figure it out, you know. There's so many codes. There's so many code lines that I have put in songs that if people put them together, if people knew what they were, they'd really know who I was. And they just, but I just laugh because it just goes right by them. It just goes right by, you know. And I've just revealed so much without ever coming out and saying, well, this is me here. And it just, I mean, absolutely, you know, hide it in plain sight is the old adage, you know.
There was a murder in the neighborhood. Somebody shot his way. Look at a baby lying on the ground there. Oh, she looks absolutely white. The tickets, none of us could see, but it was so exciting, yeah. Oh, none of us could leave. Thank you. see her cry. He knows she never left him. She did it for the kids. Oh, there he left me in the desert once. And noon in the middle of the week, way out in Winslow, Arizona. Ooh, we stopped to take a leak. He said he didn't know I had gotten out. I don't think he would have let me in. Ooh, still I have my doubts in this. Five times for the funky boy. Five times for the boy. Five times looking in the mirror. Five times for the monkey boy. Hard times for the monkey boy.
Have you written songs, though, that you have sometimes thought were too personal to put out?
Yeah.
Or you just put them out? And
no, there was one I wrote that has never been out about my first love and about my kids when they were growing up and my wife and I were divorced. You know, that was just too personal. I just didn't want to put that out. I love Eric Clapton, and I'm just so impressed with his bravery in writing about his son that was killed. I hope, just don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. I have to take those songs off. It's just too sad. I can't take it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just tears my heart out. You know, Tears from Heaven and, you know, Little Man on his new album. I mean, it's just wrenching. It has nothing to do with entertainment. I mean, how can you sit there, I mean, do the song and be in the audience and not go, oh, my God. I mean, you can't go, oh, yes, very nice. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, he's amazing that he could do that. It must be very healing for him.
Thank you.
seem to remember you announcing from the stage that this was going to be your last tour, and it hasn't been, has it?
I just couldn't go start in London and drive all the way up and do all those towns. Mm-hmm. It just, for some reason, I guess it was jet lag or whatever, it just wore me out. I said, I just can't do these tours anymore. I'll come back and play. And like on this trip, I played at the Turf in Dalry for 3 days and 2 days in York, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just won't. Not that I don't love playing for the people. I just can't do those drives. First of all, mm-hmm. for an American, I almost have heart failure every time I take a long drive on these roads, because you're on the other side and they're so tiny, and you pull out the pass and my God, there's another car coming. So I'm a nervous wreck by the time I get to the gig. I'm a vegetarian, and it's hard for me to find things I can eat here that aren't potatoes and things that are fried potatoes. It's hard to find things. You know? The irony of it, and it seems to be the way of the world, that everything has a trade-off. Nothing's free. That the people who I believe are most into my music are the people of the UK. Yet I faced that problem when touring, you know, and I went to Ireland, equally just amazing. Everyone smoked, and I have asthma, so like by the second gig, I couldn't even breathe. Nothing is free, and that's the price, but you know, I would never stop coming. No.
And you did one tour with Guy Clark and Peter Rowan.
Oh my God. Yes, I did. Now these guys are everything, and Towns, and it was no surprise to anyone that Towns was dead. In fact, the reaction was, I can't believe he's lasted this long. I mean, if there's anybody who was on a suicide kamikaze mission, it was Towns Van Zandt. And he and Guy Clark totally live up to their reputation. This is no myth. And I don't drink. I just don't do it, and there's that southern thing of, come on, man, let's go have a drink, and I just don't drink. And Towns's idea of humor was, when you first meet him, he'll tell you some heart-wrenching tale about someone in his family dying, you know, and then at the end, he's teasing you. Real funny, Towns. Great story, yeah. So it was, one, hysterical, and I was just blown away by Towns Van Zandt's writing. It's seamless. You can't see where he did the writing. It was brilliant. On the other hand, we didn't connect other than as writers, you know, Guy Clark and Towns Van Zandt. That was one person. And then there was me and Peter. Yeah. So Towns and Guy would get up there, do their show together, get falling down drunk.
And the audience loved it, presumably.
Their audience loved it. They came expecting that, you know. Yes. So, and my audience was going, my God, what have we locked in on here? You know, so I won't do that again.
What do you actually mean by the songs are seamless?
Great actors, you can't tell they're acting. You see a bad actor, you can tell he's acting. A great writer, and I'm trying to think of who else. Well, McCartney could do that. You don't see the writing. You don't see how did he do it? Some great painters, you look at the painting and go, I don't know how he did it. He covered his tracks, you know. I don't see the writing. And there's songs that I love, songwriters I love, who I see the writing, and it's great, like Leonard Cohen. I see the writing, and it's brilliant. Towns, I didn't see him do it. It's like he was making it up as he went along.
You know? Because Leonard Cohen has such great phrases in
great.
There. You know he must have worked
yes,
on them.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's brilliant. But I listened to Towns, and at first, you know, I'm kind of listening, well, that's nice. Well, if anything, Towns Van Zandt songs were not nice. I hate nice. Nice is like a card you get on your birthday from your aunt. Towns songs, you listen to the work and you go, it sounds like he's making it up, but it's brilliant. One of the most, I think, underrated songwriters I've ever heard.